You don't need to know someone for years to understand them. You just need to know what to look for right now. Most people spend years confused by others. They trust too fast, get hurt too often, and keep asking, why did they change? The truth is, they didn't change. You just never saw them clearly. The signs were always there. You just didn't know how to read them. This audiobook is not about guessing. It's about seeing. It's about learning how to understand anyone. Instantly, you'll learn to spot the quiet signals, the quick shifts, the body language, and the small reactions that speak louder than any words. You'll stop getting fooled by smiles and start noticing patterns. You'll stop being confused by silence and start understanding behavior. Whether it's a friend, a partner, a coworker, or a stranger, people are showing you who they are every second. You just haven't been trained to notice it. This audiobook will change that. From the very first chapter, Chapter 1, notice what people do when they feel insecure. If you really want to understand someone, if you want to understand them instantly, watch what they do when they feel insecure, because that's when the mask slips. That's when the truth shows up. Not when everything is fine. Not when people are praised or admired. You don't get the full picture when life is easy. You get it when someone feels exposed, unsure, and maybe even a little small inside. You see, insecurity reveals character faster than any conversation ever could. When people feel insecure, they don't just say things, they show you things. They show you how they handle doubt. They show you how they cope when they don't feel enough. They show you if they run, fight, shut down, blame, stay quiet, seek attention, or try to prove something. And you've got to be sharp enough to notice these signals, because that's when you really start to understand people. If someone talks over others the moment they feel unsure, that tells you something. If someone becomes silent and distant when they're not certain, that tells you something. If someone starts mocking or pointing fingers when their confidence gets hit, that tells you something. And the reason this matters is because you're not just looking at what they do, you're learning why they do it. That's where real understanding starts. Human behavior is not random, it's patterned. Insecurity pulls out those patterns. That's why your job isn't just to react to someone's insecurity, it's to watch it, learn from it, and ask yourself, what does this say about how they see themselves? When someone feels small, how do they respond? Do they become aggressive? Do they pull away? Do they pretend to be strong? Or do they open up and admit they're struggling? Most people aren't trained to spot these things. They take everything at face value. But if you're serious about growth, if you want to be a person who leads, inspires, and truly connects with others, then you've got to train your eyes and ears for these quiet moments, because they speak the loudest. Someone who brags all the time, that's not confidence, that's insecurity trying to cover itself up. Someone who can't accept a compliment without deflecting, that's not humility, that's a sign they've never fully believed they deserve recognition. Now this isn't about judging people, it's not about labeling anyone as weak, it's about understanding them, understanding what shapes them, what drives them, what shakes them, and what grounds them. You don't need to be a therapist to figure this out, you just need to care enough to observe, pay attention to what happens when someone feels left out in a group. Pay attention to how someone responds when their ideas get ignored. Do they become quiet? Do they try to reassert themselves? Do they get angry? Do they act like they don't care? That moment right there, that's real insight. That's what gives you a clear window into who they are beneath all the surface-level interaction. If you want to build real relationships, whether in business or in life, learn how to read those signs. Learn how to read discomfort. You can fake confidence, you can fake happiness, but you can't fake your default reaction when insecurity hits. That's too hard to control. People often carry their insecurities from childhood, from past rejection, from failure they never processed, and it lives in their actions. The man who always tries to prove how smart he is probably grew up being told he wasn't. The woman who always avoids deep conversations may have been hurt for sharing her truth once. So now when something triggers that same discomfort, they react from the past, not from the present. And if you're the kind of person who wants to work with others, grow with others, love others, or even lead others, you can't afford to miss this. Because once you can understand insecurity, you can begin to understand behavior. And once you understand behavior, you can start connecting at a whole new level. So how do you develop this skill? Start by observing, not reacting. Most people react too fast. They get offended, they get defensive, or they start judging someone based on one insecure moment. But that moment is gold. That's your clue. That's where you start learning. Watch how someone acts when they don't know something. Do they get defensive? Do they pretend to know? Or do they admit it and ask for help? That tells you everything about their relationship with learning. Watch how someone handles correction. Do they see it as an attack? Do they take it in quietly and feel defeated? Or do they accept it and grow? That tells you everything about how they value themselves. People are not hard to understand if you're willing to pay attention, but you've got to go deeper than words. You've got to watch the patterns, the little changes in their energy, their tone, their rhythm. That's where the truth is hiding. Insecure moments are not always loud. Sometimes they're silent. Sometimes it's the way someone avoids eye contact. Sometimes it's when they speak too quickly. Sometimes it's when they try too hard to sound right. You've got to stay present enough to catch it. Most people miss it because they're too focused on what they're going to say next. Now, why is this so important? Because understanding people is the foundation of every great relationship, every strong team, every smart business decision, and every lasting connection. If you can't read insecurity, you're always guessing. But when you can read it, you can adjust your approach. You can choose empathy instead of judgment. You can speak to someone's real needs, not just their surface-level behavior. Think about it. When you understand someone's insecurity, you know what makes them feel unsafe. And when you know that, you can help them feel safe. And when people feel safe, they open up, they trust you, they show you their real self. You don't get loyalty by demanding it. You earn it by understanding people better than they understand themselves. And that starts with paying attention when they feel vulnerable. Watch how someone reacts when they feel left behind. Watch how they act when someone else is winning. Do they celebrate? Do they shrink? Do they attack? All of these are clues. People show you their blueprint when they feel like they're not enough. Now, don't use this to manipulate. That's not what this is for. Use this to connect. Use this to serve. Use this to build something real. Start practicing today. In every conversation, ask yourself, what's this person really feeling right now? What are they trying to protect? What fear is guiding their tone, their words, their choices? When someone over-explains, maybe they fear being misunderstood. When someone criticizes others quickly, maybe they fear being wrong. When someone avoids eye contact, maybe they fear being seen. The signs are always there. You just have to care enough to look for them. And once you build this muscle, this ability to read people clearly, you'll start making better decisions. You'll avoid trusting the wrong ones and missing out on the right ones. You'll lead better. You'll partner better. You'll love better. Because now, you're not just hearing words. You're understanding the mind behind the words. This isn't a trick. It's not a tactic. It's a mindset. It's a lifestyle. And it starts with noticing what people do when they feel insecure. Because in that moment, they're not performing, they're revealing, and that's where real understanding begins. Chapter 2. Watch how quickly they blame or take ownership. If you want to truly understand a person, watch how they react the moment something goes wrong. Don't listen to their explanation. Don't wait for a perfect excuse. Just observe one thing. Do they blame someone else, or do they take ownership? This single reaction speaks louder than anything they've ever said. It tells you how they process pressure. It tells you how they handle failure. Tells you whether they run from responsibility or step into it. And if you're sharp enough to notice it, you'll never again be confused about someone's character. People reveal their mindset through the way they handle mistakes. You don't have to know their background. You don't have to know their goals. If you just watch what they do when something doesn't go their way, you'll learn exactly what kind of person they are on the inside. Blaming is easy, ownership is hard, and most people don't even realize they're doing it. When something breaks, when a plan fails, when the results are not what they expected, they instinctively look outside of themselves, they point fingers, they make excuses, they defend their position. Why? Because blame protects the ego, it shields people from the discomfort of growth, it gives them a reason to stay the same. But the people who grow the fastest, those who succeed the fastest, take a different path. They look inward first, not because they like being wrong, not because they enjoy failure, but because they know that ownership gives them power, it gives them the ability to learn, to adapt, and to get stronger. When you watch someone take ownership, what you're really seeing is strength, quiet strength, mental strength. You're seeing a person who doesn't need to protect their pride. You're seeing someone who's more interested in progress than in defending their image. And that's rare. That's valuable. That's someone you can trust. Ownership is not about blaming yourself for everything. It's about taking responsibility for what you can control. And the people who do that, who say, yes, I made that call, or that was my decision, or I could have handled that better, those people are worth learning from, because they're not pretending, they're not hiding, they're being real, and that honesty is what helps them grow. Now, when you're having a conversation with someone, you don't need to interrogate them to see this. Just pay attention to their language. Do they always say things like, they never told me, or it's not my fault, or he messed it up? That's a red flag. That shows a pattern. Because if someone can't own a small mistake, they won't take responsibility for big ones either. But if they say things like, I should have checked, or that's on me, or I'll do better next time, that tells you everything you need to know. That's a person who learns from the past. That's a person who grows from every situation. When you build relationships, whether personal or professional, understanding this one behavior can save you years of frustration, because if someone always blames others, you'll be cleaning up their mess again and again. You'll be dragged into their stories, their chaos, their excuses, and worse, you'll start doubting yourself. You'll wonder if maybe you are the problem. You'll question your decisions, your voice, your direction. That's the power blame has when it's unchecked. But if you're surrounded by people who take ownership, everything changes. You can build together. You can solve problems together. You can move forward without drama, without blame, without delay. Now let's look at this from another angle. How do you respond when you mess up? Because the truth is, everybody makes mistakes. There's no perfect path. The question is, how fast do you take responsibility? When something breaks, do you admit it or avoid it? When you let someone down, do you address it or pretend it didn't happen? When you miss a target, do you reflect or deflect? You can't expect to understand others until you're willing to understand yourself. If you've spent years blaming people for where you are in life, you're going to miss the growth that comes from real ownership. But the moment you start looking at yourself honestly, things begin to shift. You start to see where you played a part. You start to see how your thinking shaped your outcomes. You stop complaining and start correcting. That's power. That's where change really begins. The people who change their lives the most are not the ones who got everything right. They're the ones who faced what they did wrong. They stopped lying to themselves. They stopped blaming others. And they said, "This is mine to fix. This is mine to improve." So the next time you're around someone at work, in a conversation, during a challenge, watch closely. Do they take responsibility, or do they dodge it? That will show you how much pressure they can handle. That will show you how much you can rely on them. That will show you how they will treat you when things don't go smoothly. And here's something important. Blame doesn't always sound loud. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it comes with a smile. "I thought you were taking care of that. I assumed you handled it. No one told me." These sound harmless, but they're not. They're habits of shifting the burden, and people who do this often don't even know they're doing it. But you'll know, because you're watching, you're learning, you're growing your ability to understand people for who they really are, not for who they pretend to be. And if you want to lead, if you want to inspire, if you want to grow with others, then you've got to surround yourself with people who know how to take ownership, not just when it's easy, not just when it makes them look good, but when it's hard, when it's messy, when it stings. Because the way a person responds to blame tells you whether they are willing to learn or just want to look right. It tells you if they'll improve or if they'll repeat the same cycle again and again. Blame stops growth. Ownership opens the door. If you want real progress, in yourself or in your relationships, you've got to be honest about how blame shows up, not just in others, but in you. Start paying attention to your own language. When something doesn't go your way, ask yourself, "Am I blaming someone right now, or am I learning something?" That simple question will change your thinking. It will give you back control, because the more responsibility you take, the more influence you have over your future. Understanding others starts with awareness. Awareness of how they talk when things break. Awareness of how they behave when the plan doesn't go right. Awareness of how they respond when they feel cornered. These are not small details. These are the keys to everything. If someone always blames others, you're not going to build trust. You're going to walk on eggshells. But if they take ownership, even in small things, you know you've found someone strong, someone reliable, someone who doesn't just talk about growth, they live it. So don't rush to speak, don't rush to fix, just pay attention. People will always show you who they are when ownership is on the table. And when you see it clearly, when you see who steps up and who steps back, you'll stop guessing, you'll stop wasting time, you'll stop misjudging, because understanding people instantly isn't about reading their words, it's about reading their choices, especially the choice they make when something goes wrong. That moment is everything. Watch for it, learn from it, and most of all, become the kind of person who always chooses ownership. That's how you grow, that's how you lead. And that's how you understand people on a level most never reach.
Chapter 3. See who they become when nobody needs them. If you really want to understand someone at their core, don't just watch how they act when they're needed. Watch who they are when they're not. That's where the truth is. That's where the real personality shows. When people are no longer in the spotlight, when nobody calls on them, when their presence isn't required, how they choose to behave in those moments reveals more about them than anything they say when the world is watching. There are people who only show up when there's something in it for them. They attach their effort, their kindness, their attitude to whether or not they're being depended on. And as soon as the attention fades or the responsibility shifts to someone else, so does their presence. You begin to see how temporary their support was. You begin to see how conditional their character is. That's not the kind of person you want to rely on. And there are others who stay consistent no matter what. When they're needed, they give. And when they're not needed, they still show up. They don't disappear. They don't shut down. They don't need to be the center of attention to continue acting with integrity. That tells you everything you need to know. Because the people who don't need a reason to be good, those are the people who are good for real. You've got to watch people closely when they're not being praised, when they're not being asked for help, when they're not getting the credit. That's when their habits are raw. That's when their effort is pure. Are they still disciplined? Are they still thoughtful? Do they still treat others with respect? Or do they go quiet, passive, or worse, resentful? Some people feel important only when they're needed. And the second they're not, they pull away, they feel lost, they start questioning their worth. And that's not something to judge. It's something to understand. Because many people build their identity around being useful, around being the answer, around being the one who always helps. And when life doesn't require them in that way anymore, they feel invisible. Now, why does this matter? Because if you're building relationships, building a business, building a team, or just trying to grow as a person, you need to know who's consistent regardless of the situation, who brings value even when no one's watching, who gives their best even when it's not needed. People will always reveal their values when their role changes, when they're no longer the go-to person. When they're not the one everyone turns to, do they support others stepping up? Do they celebrate someone else getting the attention? Or do they pull away and act like they were never part of it in the first place? You can't build anything lasting around people who change based on whether or not they're being used. Because the truth is, there will be seasons where people won't need you. There will be times when your job is done, and you'll need to keep showing up. Not to prove your worth, but to support others, to be part of something bigger than just being needed. And if you can't do that, if your entire identity depends on being someone's answer, you'll fall apart the moment they don't call your name. Look at how people treat others when there's nothing at stake. That's the test. When there's no gain, no reward, no attention, do they still show up with kindness? Do they still hold their standards? Do they still contribute to the environment with a good heart? That's what reveals true character. Some people are only kind when they feel needed. They're warm, generous, and helpful, but only as long as someone benefits directly from them. When that connection fades, so does their attitude. That's not character. That's performance. and you don't want to build your life around performers, you want to build it around people who are real. This is also true for how people treat themselves when nobody needs them. When there's no deadline, when there's no accountability, when there's no one watching, do they still take care of their health? Do they still push themselves to grow? Do they still work on becoming better? Or do they stop? Because that's what self-respect looks like. The way you treat yourself when the world is silent, the way you act when there's no pressure, that's when your personal standard is on full display. You don't get better by only showing up when others are counting on you. You grow by showing up for yourself, especially when nobody else expects it. People often lose themselves when they're not needed. They don't know who they are without someone depending on them. And that's dangerous. Because now they're not living out of purpose, they're living out of validation. And validation doesn't last. It fades. So the moment it's gone, they feel empty again. You need people around you who stay grounded when their role changes. Who don't fall apart when they're not the center. Who don't disappear when the focus shifts. That kind of stability creates peace. That kind of presence builds trust. And trust is what allows everything else to grow. This is also how you know who's really with you. Not just when you're in need, but when you're doing fine, when you don't require their help. Who still checks in? Who still shows love? Who still adds value without needing anything in return? That's real connection. Because at the end of the day, life changes. Roles shift. Sometimes you're the leader, sometimes you're the learner. Sometimes you're the one holding it together, sometimes you're the one resting. And the people who understand this flow, who don't get caught up in needing to be needed, those are the people you grow with. You also need to look at yourself here. Who do you become when nobody needs you? Are you still consistent with your habits? Do you still care about your growth? Do you still give your best energy to your day? Or do you fall into comfort? Do you lose discipline when no one's watching? Because that's the part you need to face. That's where real change happens. Stop waiting to be needed before you act. Build a life where you act because it matters to you. Where you serve without being asked. Where you give because it's in your nature. Not because it feeds your ego. You'll become stronger when your identity isn't tied to how many people call your name. You'll become more peaceful when you don't need constant approval to feel worthy. And you'll start seeing others clearly when you remove the filter of usefulness and focus on consistency. Understanding someone doesn't always require deep talks. Sometimes all it takes is watching them when they're no longer being called on. How do they move? How do they speak? Do they still bring effort? Do they still bring presence? Because when you find someone who gives their best even when the spotlight's off, you've found someone rare. You've found someone who leads themselves before trying to lead others. And when you become that person, everything starts to change. You stop needing recognition to feel alive. You stop needing someone else's crisis to feel valuable. You become steady, clear, peaceful. And that kind of person, one who stays the same whether needed or not, is someone everyone learns to trust. So if you really want to understand people, don't wait for the big moments. Don't wait for the loud moments. Watch the quiet ones. Watch who they become when nobody needs them. That's when the truth shows up. That's when their character becomes clear. That's when you really learn who's real.
Chapter 4. Ask what they fear most and stay quiet. If you want to understand someone on a deeper level, ask them what they fear most, then stay quiet. Don't interrupt. Don't analyze. Don't try to fix it. Just give them the space to speak and the silence to reveal what's real. That's how you get past the surface. That's how you break through the layers people build to protect themselves. Most people never ask questions that matter. They ask about hobbies, opinions, goals, but fear.
That's where everything begins. That's where the truth hides. That's where you find out who someone really is. Fear drives more human behavior than most people realize. Fear shapes how people speak, how they choose, how they hold back, and how they move forward. And unless you learn to see that fear clearly, you'll always be guessing why someone does what they do. You'll misunderstand their silence. You'll misread their tone. You'll misjudge their hesitation. But when someone tells you what they fear, you begin to see the full picture. You start to understand their limits, their walls, their triggers, and their patterns. But here's the catch. You don't get that truth by pushing. You get it by asking, and then waiting. Silence is uncomfortable for most people. That's why they talk to fill the space. But when you ask a deep question, the last thing you should do is rush. People don't open up when they're rushed. They open up when they feel safe. When they know you're not looking to judge or correct them. When they sense you're really listening, not waiting to speak. So you ask, and then you stay quiet. That silence gives them permission to tell the truth. And here's what happens next. If they trust you enough, they'll tell you something honest. Maybe for the first time. Maybe something they've never said out loud. It won't be polished. It won't be perfect. But it'll be real. And once someone shares what they're afraid of, you're no longer dealing with a version of them. You're dealing with the real person behind the version. And that's powerful. You'll begin to understand why they hesitate to take risks. You'll see why they avoid confrontation. You'll notice why they overthink or stay quiet, or try to control outcomes. It's not because they're weak or stubborn, it's because something inside them is trying to stay safe. And that fear, if not understood, will continue to lead them silently. But once it's spoken out loud, it loses some of its power. That's the first step toward clarity. You're not there to fix anyone. You're there to understand them. That's where people get it wrong. They think being helpful means giving advice. But sometimes, the most helpful thing you can do is be quiet and let someone speak. Let them work through what's on their mind. Let them face their own answers. When you give someone that space, you show them respect. You show them patience. You show them they don't have to pretend around you. This is also how you build trust. Not by saying you're trustworthy, but by giving people the space to be real. When you ask someone what they fear most, you're inviting them to be vulnerable. And if you interrupt, if you minimize, if you laugh, if you shift the subject, you break that trust. But if you stay silent and stay present, you prove you can handle their truth. Some people won't answer right away. That's okay. Don't rush them. Just be still. Let the silence stretch. Let the question hang in the air without pressure. You'll learn a lot from how they sit with it. You'll learn whether they've faced it before. You'll see whether they want to talk about it or not. Even their hesitation is information. Even their silence is a signal. And if someone tells you they don't know what they fear, that's a clue too. Maybe they've avoided the question for years. Maybe they've never had the chance to answer honestly. Or maybe they're afraid to admit it, even to themselves. That doesn't mean stop asking. It means go slower. It means be patient. Understanding people isn't about speed, it's about presence. Once they speak, listen with your full attention. Don't think about what you're going to say next. Don't prepare a response in your head. Just listen. Listen to the words they choose. Listen to the way their voice changes. Listen to what they're not saying. Every part of their answer matters. Fear lives in tone, in pauses, in the parts of the story they almost skip. If you're fully present, you'll catch it. And when you do, don't respond with solutions. Respond with calm. Respond with respect. Respond like someone who can be trusted with what they just shared. And this doesn't just apply to strangers or people you're trying to understand. It applies to your closest relationships. Ask your partner what they fear most. Ask your friend. Ask your child. Ask yourself, because once fear is spoken, the relationship becomes real. Now you're not just exchanging surface-level words, you're connecting in a way that sticks. And those connections don't break easily. Understanding someone through their fear doesn't mean seeing them as weak. It means seeing them as human. Because every strong person you admire has fears they faced. Every confident speaker you see has battled doubts. Every leader has once wondered if they were enough. Fear doesn't make someone fragile. It makes them real. And when you're strong enough to hold that space for someone, you become someone they trust for life. People don't forget the person who listened when they were afraid. They don't forget the person who didn't rush them. They don't forget the person who didn't turn their fear into a project. That kind of patience is rare. That kind of listening is healing. And here's the truth. When someone tells you what they fear, they're not just sharing a weakness. They're giving you a map. A map of how they move through life. A map of what they protect. A map of what hurts them. A map of where they need the most growth. And when you have that map, you can walk with them more wisely. You can speak to them with more care. You can support them without stepping on landmines. You'll also begin to notice how fear shows up in different ways. Some people hide their fear behind anger. Others behind humor. Some stay busy. Others go quiet. But if you've heard someone's fear in their own words, you won't be fooled by the mask. You'll see past it. You'll understand what's really going on underneath the reaction. That's how you stop being confused by people. That's how you stop taking things personally. Because now you see the fear, not just the behavior. You're no longer guessing. You're not interpreting, you're understanding. This doesn't mean you excuse bad behavior, but it means you respond with clarity. It means you speak to what's really going on, not just what they're showing on the surface. And if you want to grow as a person, don't just ask others what they fear. Ask yourself, and then sit in the same silence. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't justify. Don't hide. Ask what you fear most, and be quiet. The answer might not come right away. That's okay. Stay with it. When it shows up, you'll feel it in your body. You'll know it's real. And when you can face that fear in yourself, you'll start to grow in a way that feels solid, grounded, unshakable. You become stronger, not by denying fear, but by understanding it. By facing it without flinching. And when you understand it in yourself, you stop being surprised when you see it in others. Understanding people is not about being clever. It's not about using tricks or tactics. It's about being real, being present, being still, being safe. Ask what they fear most, and stay quiet. That's where the door opens. That's where trust begins. That's where real understanding lives.
Chapter 5. Pay attention to how they treat your silence. If you really want to understand someone, pay close attention to how they respond to your silence. Not your words. Not your opinions. Not your energy. Just your silence. That quiet space you create when you don't say anything at all. That's where their true nature comes out. That's when you see who they are without performance. Because people's behavior in silence reveals more about their mindset than anything they'll ever say. Most people are uncomfortable with silence. They feel pressure to fill it, to talk, to explain, to entertain. Silence exposes the spaces people try to hide. It takes away the noise they use to distract themselves and others. When you go quiet, people are left with themselves, with their own thoughts,
their own need for control, their own insecurities, and in those quiet moments, you see what they're really made of. Some people rush to speak the moment you stop talking. They interrupt the silence with nervous chatter, quick opinions, or forced laughter. They can't handle the pause. It makes them feel exposed. It makes them feel like something is wrong. But nothing is wrong. In fact, silence is one of the most powerful tools you have when it comes to seeing someone clearly. Others take your silence personally. They start asking, "Is something wrong?" or "Why are you so quiet?" They project discomfort onto you because they don't know how to handle space. They assume that silence means judgment or disapproval, not because you gave them a reason, but because their own mind fills in the blank, and what they fill it with, that's the key to understanding them. There are people who use silence to manipulate. They test your reaction. They pull back just to see if you'll chase them. They weaponize distance to gain control. And if you're not aware, you'll fall into the trap of over-explaining or over-performing just to fill the space. But if you remain still, if you watch, if you wait, if you stay calm, you'll begin to see the pattern. You'll realize they're not responding to you. They're responding to their own discomfort. Then there are those who respect silence. They sit with it. They don't rush to change it. They understand that not every pause is a problem. Some people just breathe differently. Some people think before they speak. Some people are present without always needing to talk. And those are the people who make you feel at ease. You never have to perform around them. You never feel like you're being measured. Because they give your silence space to exist without trying to control it. Watch how someone treats you when you're not entertaining them. When you're just sitting in stillness. Do they stay patient? Do they hold space? Or do they fidget? Get annoyed? Try to push you out of your calm? That's the test. Because the person who can't sit with your silence usually can't sit with their own. And if they can't sit with their own, they'll always be running from something inside. Your silence is a mirror. It reflects back what's going on in someone else. You don't have to do anything dramatic to learn about people. Just go quiet. You'll see their anxiety. You'll see their control patterns. You'll see their empathy, or their lack of it. Because how someone treats your silence says everything about what they need from others to feel okay. Some people will mistake your silence for weakness. They'll assume you're unsure, passive, or disconnected. And they'll try to dominate the space. They'll talk louder. They'll take over the conversation. But those people aren't reading you. They're reacting to their own assumptions, and their reaction tells you more than their words ever could. Others will mistake your silence for disinterest. They'll believe that if you're not talking, you're not engaged. But silence isn't the absence of interest. Sometimes it's the presence of focus, of listening, of thought. But people who haven't learned to listen will miss that. And they'll label you wrongly. Again, that tells you more about them than about you. And then there are people who will respect your silence, who will understand that a pause isn't a problem, that not every moment needs to be filled. These people will breathe with you, sit with you, share space with you without needing noise. That's connection. That's calm. That's someone who's made peace with themselves and doesn't need constant reassurance to feel secure around others. You learn a lot about trust in silence. Who pushes you to speak before you're ready? Who gets angry when you're quiet? Who panics? Who waits? Who opens up without expecting you to match their pace? These are the things that show up when the noise disappears. Most people aren't used to paying attention in silence. They look for big reactions, loud emotions, clear signals, but the real insight is quiet. It's in the small shift in someone's body, in their eye movement, in how they breathe, in how they adjust when no one is talking. Those details matter. That's where understanding begins. When you get comfortable being quiet, you stop reacting emotionally. You begin seeing what others miss. You see how someone starts defending themselves before you've even said anything. You see who leans in and who leans out. You see who becomes kind and who becomes cold. It's not about silence being powerful. It's about silence being honest. Because in the absence of noise, you're left with what's real. If someone can't handle your silence, they'll try to control you. Not always in harsh ways. Sometimes in subtle ones. They'll ask you to smile more, to be more expressive, to open up faster. Not for your sake, but for theirs. Because your calm reminds them of what they haven't faced in themselves. Your stillness triggers the discomfort they've buried. But if someone honors your silence, if they wait with you, breathe with you, allow space for you to be as you are without pressure, that's someone who gets it. That's someone who has done the work, who understands that not every connection is loud. That real presence is often wordless. And this isn't just about understanding others. It's about understanding yourself too. Pay attention to how you treat someone else's silence. Do you get anxious? Do you assume something's wrong? Do you rush in with questions, solutions, distractions, or do you sit still and let things unfold? Your reaction to their quiet shows you how much peace you really have within yourself. Because the truth is, most people aren't afraid of silence. They're afraid of what silence brings up. Doubt, insecurity, loneliness, unanswered questions. But if you want to grow, if you want to build stronger relationships, learn to hold space without panic. Learn to watch instead of interrupt. Learn to trust the process instead of rushing it. When someone is quiet, there's a reason. And that reason might be more powerful than anything you could say to them. So stay patient, stay present, and keep watching. How someone treats your silence tells you if they respect you or just need you to perform. It shows you whether they care about your peace or just their own comfort. That single moment can teach you more than 1,000 conversations filled with noise. So don't overlook it. Don't fill it too quickly. Let it be what it is. And in that stillness, you'll start to see the truth. You'll start to understand what kind of person you're dealing with. And most importantly, you'll start to see who truly accepts you, without needing you to speak at all. Chapter 6. Look at how they respond to rejection calmly. If you want to see someone's true strength, watch how they respond when they're told no. Rejection doesn't just test patience, it exposes maturity. It shows you how grounded someone is when they don't get what they want. You can't understand someone fully by how they act during success. That's the easy part. You understand them by how they behave when something doesn't go their way. And rejection is one of life's clearest ways of showing who someone really is when things don't turn in their favor. People respond to rejection in different ways. Some take it personally. They become defensive, they shut down, they attack, or they pretend they never cared in the first place. They let the sting of one no define their entire value. Others take rejection and start blaming the system, the person, the world. They can't accept that something didn't work out. So they protect their ego by pointing outward instead of looking inward. But then there are people who take rejection calmly. They stay centered. They accept it without collapsing. They hear the no, and instead of reacting emotionally, they ask what's next. These are the people you can trust. Because rejection doesn't break them, it sharpens them. They don't beg. They don't try to prove anything. They don't twist themselves into someone else's approval. They breathe, they adjust, and they move forward. Rejection is not always loud. Sometimes it's subtle. A message that doesn't get answered. An idea that gets ignored. An opportunity that goes to someone else. And how someone reacts in those quiet moments tells you everything about their self-worth. Someone who needs constant approval to feel okay will see rejection as a threat. Someone who's secure will see it as a moment, not a measure of who they are. Watch what someone does after they hear no. Do they spiral into self-pity? Do they go cold and bitter? Do they try to win people back by overperforming? Or do they reflect and stay grounded? That moment of disappointment reveals their relationship with self-respect. People who take rejection calmly have a solid foundation. They don't collapse every time a door closes. They trust that not every door is meant for them, and that trust gives them peace. This doesn't mean rejection feels good. It never does. It stings. It catches you off guard. But calmness doesn't mean lack of emotion. It means control over emotion. It means choosing your response instead of reacting from pain. People who take rejection with calm energy have done the inner work. They've faced failure before. They've learned that a no doesn't mean stop. It means redirect. And they don't take every rejection as a personal attack. There's something powerful about being around someone who stays composed when rejected. It makes you feel safe. It shows that they won't turn on you when they don't get their way. It shows they're not desperate for validation. And that kind of presence creates stable relationships, solid teams, and trustworthy partnerships. Think about your own reaction to rejection. When something doesn't work out, do you panic? Do you rush to fix it? Do you shut down completely? Or do you stay steady and ask, "What can I learn from this?" Because your answer to that question shapes how far you'll grow. The people who grow the most are not the ones who never get rejected. They're the ones who don't let rejection control their identity. Sometimes people overcompensate when they're rejected. They try harder to be seen. They exaggerate their value. They force conversations. But that energy pushes people away. Calmness, on the other hand, draws people in. When you stay calm in the face of rejection, you communicate strength without saying a word. You're not needy. You're not shaken. You're present. And people respect presence. There's also the other extreme. People who act like they never cared at all. They pretend rejection doesn't bother them, but you can feel the tension. They brush it off too fast. They act cool, but their tone shifts, their walls go up, and their words become short. That's not calmness, that's avoidance. Calmness is not about pretending. It's about accepting. It's about feeling the disappointment and still choosing to stay grounded. When you're watching someone handle rejection, listen to the words they use. Do they say things like, "I guess I'm not good enough"? "Of course this always happens to me"? That language reveals a deeper pattern. A story they keep repeating about themselves. A belief they've attached to past experiences. And if they're not aware of it, they'll keep reacting the same way every time something doesn't go as planned. But if they say, "I'll try again," or "it just wasn't for me," there's something better out there that shows you they've done the work. They've separated the event from their identity. That's emotional maturity. That's self-leadership. That's someone who won't collapse when life gets hard. Rejection can be a gift, but only to those who are willing to see it that way. Most people see rejection as failure, but calm people see it as direction. They see it as information. They see it as feedback. And because of that mindset, they move forward while others stay stuck. If you want to grow, you need to learn how to respond to rejection in a way that builds your character, not weakens it. Look at the people around you. Who handles disappointment with grace? Who can hear no without lashing out or withdrawing? Who stays respectful even when things don't go their way? Those are the people worth keeping close. They've developed emotional discipline. They've built their life on values, not moods. And that discipline shows up strongest in the face of rejection. This is also why it's important not to judge people too quickly when you reject them. Watch their behavior. You'll learn more in that one moment than in weeks of conversation. Do they still treat you with respect? Do they walk away with dignity? Or do they try to guilt you, shame you, or make you feel bad for your decision? That reaction will tell you if they were really invested in the connection or just in the outcome they wanted. If you're leading people, teaching others, or mentoring someone, rejection will come up, and how you guide them through it matters. Teach them to breathe. Teach them to reflect. Teach them to ask what's next, instead of asking what's wrong with them. That small shift in thinking can change the way they face every obstacle in their life. You don't need to fear rejection. You need to understand it. Because once you see it as a natural part of the process, you stop being thrown off by it. You stop giving it power over your emotions. You stop reacting like it's the end. And you start seeing it as a stepping stone to something better. The calm response to rejection doesn't come naturally. It's built. It's trained. It's practiced. And every time you stay calm in the face of a no, you get stronger. Every time you choose to stay grounded instead of reacting, you gain clarity. You grow. You move forward with more focus, more wisdom, and more peace. So if you want to truly understand someone, watch them when they don't get what they want. Watch how they carry themselves after they're denied. Watch what they say about others after the opportunity is gone. That's where their mindset is revealed. That's where you see whether they're grounded or fragile, whether they've built their foundation on confidence or on constant approval. Rejection isn't personal. It's a moment. But how someone handles that moment, calm or chaotic, grounded or bitter, that tells you exactly who they are inside. And that insight will help you make smarter decisions, build stronger connections, and surround yourself with people who have real inner strength.
Chapter 7. Catch the moment they shift to protect themselves. If you want to understand someone beyond what they say or show on the surface, catch the moment they shift to protect themselves. That exact second when they change their tone, adjust their body language, or redirect the conversation, pay attention to that. Because that's when something underneath gets touched. That's when something real begins to show. Most people don't tell you when they feel uncomfortable. They don't announce it. They hide it. But if you're watching closely, you'll see it. And once you notice it, you'll begin to understand the deeper patterns behind how they live and why they respond the way they do. This shift happens quickly, and often without warning, you're having a normal conversation. Everything seems fine, and suddenly their energy changes. Maybe they cross their arms. Maybe they start talking faster. Maybe they get quiet. Maybe they interrupt you or laugh in a way that doesn't fit the moment. That's the moment. That's the instant where something inside them decided to put up a wall. And if you're not trained to see it, you'll miss it. You'll keep talking. You'll move on. But you'll walk away having only interacted with their surface. People protect themselves in ways that are subtle but consistent. Some do it by becoming sarcastic. Others do it by asking a question back instead of answering yours. Some start deflecting or cracking a joke. Some change the topic altogether. All of these are defense patterns. They show up when someone feels too exposed, too vulnerable, or too close to something they're not ready to share. You have to understand that most of these patterns were built over time. They come from past pain, early rejection, broken trust, or difficult situations where being open didn't feel safe. So now when someone senses something similar, even if it's not dangerous, they protect themselves. It's automatic. It's unconscious. And that's why it matters. Because the moment they shift to protect themselves is the moment they stop being fully present.
You won't always know what triggered it. And that's okay. You don't need to know the full backstory. What matters is that you don't ignore it. When someone shifts like that, slow down. Don't push. Don't challenge them. Just observe. Give them space. Let them feel that nothing bad is going to happen just because something real showed up. And in that space, you'll learn more than words could ever teach you. You'll start to see how often they do it. In which situations, with which people. You'll notice if they always protect themselves around authority figures, or when asked about their past, or when something personal is mentioned. These patterns are important. They show you where they feel unsafe and where you need to be gentle. Understanding people isn't about digging for information. It's about being sensitive to shifts. You can't force trust. You have to create a space where it can grow. And that begins with noticing when someone stops being themselves even slightly. You'll see this in relationships too. Maybe someone becomes overly agreeable the moment there's tension. Maybe they rush to say it's fine when clearly it's not. That's a protective shift. That's not resolution. That's self-protection. Or maybe they shut down emotionally, go quiet, or physically withdraw. Again, that's not disinterest. It's a pattern. And once you learn to catch these patterns, you'll stop misreading people. What looks like anger might actually be fear. What looks like arrogance might be shame. What looks like control might be past chaos they're trying not to repeat. And when you see that, you don't take things personally. You understand the human behind the reaction, and it's not just about observing others. You also need to see this in yourself. Pay attention to the moment you protect yourself, when someone asks a question and you deflect. When someone offers kindness and you downplay it. When someone gives feedback and you instantly defend yourself. That's your own protective shift, and that's where your growth begins. When you start catching your own patterns, you gain self-awareness, you stop being reactive. You start asking, why did I just do that? What did I feel in that moment? What am I trying to avoid right now? Those questions lead you to growth. Because now you're not just going through life on autopilot, you're learning from it. This is how maturity is built. Not by being perfect, but by being aware. By slowing down long enough to recognize when fear is driving the wheel. And then choosing a different response. Choosing to stay open. Choosing to stay kind. Choosing to stay connected, even when it feels risky. And if you're leading people, coaching others, or in any kind of relationship, this skill is gold. When someone in front of you shifts to protect themselves, you don't correct them, you support them. You stay calm. You soften your energy. You let them know without saying it, you're safe here. That message, sent through presence and patience, does more to build trust than anything else. You also learn not to react emotionally to someone's protection mode, because that's when people ruin relationships. They get offended, they assume they push back, and they miss the moment. They miss the chance to create real connection. But when you understand the shift is not about you, it's about the fear someone carries, you handle it with wisdom. You have to earn people's openness, not demand it. Not expect it, you earn it by staying steady. By not matching their fear with pressure, by not pulling away the moment they pull back. And if they never open up, that's okay too, not everyone is ready. Your job isn't to force someone into openness, it's to create a space where it's possible. Catch the moment they shift, and don't make it about control, make it about compassion. That changes everything. Because now you're not operating from your ego. You're not trying to win the moment. You're focused on understanding, and when people feel understood, they begin to let their guard down. Eventually, if they feel safe enough, they'll shift again, this time toward openness. They'll lean back in, they'll start talking honestly, they'll start being more themselves. And that's when you know you did it right. Not because you forced them to open up, but because you stayed present when they started to close off. People aren't looking for perfect answers, they're looking for safe spaces. They're looking for someone who can see them without trying to fix them. Someone who notices the moment they go into protection mode and doesn't walk away. That one second when someone shifts, don't miss it. That's the door to understanding. That's the window to the part of them they don't always show. That's the place where you stop dealing with the version they show the world and start connecting with who they really are. You don't need a script. You don't need a technique. You just need attention and patience and presence. If you've got those, you'll see more in a few minutes of stillness than most people see in years of conversation. This is how understanding works. Quietly, gently, through small signs, not big speeches, through noticing, not judging, through holding space, not pushing. And the better you get at catching the shift, the moment someone starts to protect themselves, the better you'll get at building trust that lasts. Chapter 8. See how they act when praised or ignored. If you really want to understand a person deeply, observe how they respond when they are praised and how they behave when they are ignored. Those two opposite experiences reveal more about someone's character, mindset, and emotional stability than hours of conversation ever could. Because praise doesn't just lift people, it also reveals what they've been waiting for. And being ignored doesn't just sting, it shows you how much someone depends on external attention to feel valuable. When someone receives praise, watch closely. Do they smile with quiet gratitude, or do they become arrogant and overconfident? Do they give credit to others, or take all of it for themselves? Some people can't handle praise. They use it to build a false image, not inner growth. The moment someone tells them they did well, they shift. You see it in their body. You hear it in their tone. You feel it in the way they start talking more about themselves and less about the team, the effort, or the process. That tells you everything you need to know. And then there are people who receive praise and stay grounded. They don't shrink from it, and they don't chase more of it. They accept it with peace, without needing it to feed their identity. These are people who already know who they are, so when praise shows up, they treat it as appreciation, not validation. That's the difference. And it's a big one. Validation seekers live for compliments. They measure their value based on how much attention they get. They may appear confident on the outside, but inside, their self-worth rises and falls with every opinion, every comment, every bit of applause. When they get noticed, they glow. But it's temporary. When they get ignored, they spiral. And that shift from praise to silence exposes everything. Now pay attention to what someone does when they're not acknowledged, not praised, not seen, not thanked. Do they still give their best? Do they stay consistent, or do they slow down? Pull back. Get bitter. When people feel invisible, their true level of maturity shows up fast. Some will keep working with the same effort, knowing that value is not always visible right away. Others will start performing, trying to earn attention, or they'll withdraw completely, thinking, if no one sees me, why should I keep going? That thinking comes from a mindset built on approval, and it's common. Most people are taught to tie their worth to rewards, to associate doing good with being praised. So when the praise doesn't come, they question themselves. But real strength shows up when no one's clapping. When you keep doing good work even when nobody says your name. When you stay kind even when no one's noticing. That's discipline. That's identity. That's self-leadership. People who are steady through praise and silence are rare, because it's not easy. It takes emotional maturity to receive praise without getting prideful. It takes personal growth to be ignored without becoming bitter. And those who master both, they're the people you want around you. They're stable. They don't change based on attention. They're not chasing approval. They're not addicted to validation. They show up the same, whether they're seen or not. Think about how someone acts when they get all the attention in the room. Do they use it to lift others? Do they stay humble? Or do they take over, interrupt, dominate the space? You'll notice that some people crave praise not because they want to grow, but because they want control. They want power. And attention gives them that. It's not about acknowledgement, it's about dominance. Now think about how they respond when someone else gets praised. Do they celebrate with sincerity? Or do they shrink, get quiet, withdraw, or become passive-aggressive? That moment tells you how secure they are with themselves. If someone can only shine when they're the center, they're not steady inside. But someone who can genuinely celebrate others has already built something solid inside their own mindset. Being ignored is another test of character. Some people fall apart in silence. They don't know how to be okay without approval. They start forcing conversations, posting more, talking more, doing more, anything to be seen again. And while that may look like confidence, it's actually fear. Fear of being unseen, fear of being forgotten, fear that their worth is tied to someone else's attention. The most confident people are not the loudest. They're the ones who stay consistent whether praised or ignored. They keep showing up. They stay kind. They stay focused. Not because someone is watching, but because that's who they are. That's what understanding yourself really means. And when someone lives that way, you can trust them, you can count on them. Because their behavior isn't based on praise or silence, it's based on purpose. You also need to turn the question inward. How do you respond when someone praises you? Do you soak it in and feel more valuable because of it? Or do you appreciate it but know your worth is built deeper than a compliment? And when you feel ignored, when no one thanks you, no one messages you back, no one sees your effort, do you still keep going with the same energy? Or do you stop giving your best? These are the questions that reveal your foundation. Because if your effort only exists when attention is present, it means your identity isn't fully yours yet. But when you keep showing up no matter what, when you build your life on values, not voices, you become unshakable. This is important in leadership too. When you lead a team, not everyone will be praised equally. Some will get more attention, others less. But your job is to notice how people behave in both cases. Who becomes arrogant? Who becomes resentful? Who becomes invisible? And who stays grounded? You'll build stronger connections when you understand this pattern. When someone starts acting out, don't just look at their behavior, look at what changed. Did they stop getting recognized? Did someone else get the spotlight? Did their role feel overlooked? Those things matter. They reveal unspoken needs. And when you understand those needs, you lead with more wisdom. But don't reward attention-seeking behavior. Reward consistency. Reward effort that shows up whether it's praised or not. That's how you build a culture of real growth, not just performance. In your personal life, this insight matters just as much. Watch how your friends behave when you're getting praise. Do they lift you up, or do they disappear? And when they're the ones being celebrated, do you feel small, or do you feel proud? These are not small things. They tell you where you are, emotionally, and where they are too. In relationships, praise and silence both show up. Not every day is full of compliments. Not every moment is full of appreciation. And the couples who last are the ones who understand this. They don't need constant validation to keep loving. They give without being noticed. They appreciate without being asked. And when praise comes, they receive it, but they don't depend on it. See how people act in those two moments, when they're praised and when they're ignored. Don't just look at their reaction. Look at what shifts in their tone, their actions, their attitude. That's where you'll understand their emotional patterns. And don't just watch them once. Watch over time. Everyone can act right once. But who stays humble across multiple compliments? Who stays steady across days of silence? That's what you want to understand. Real strength doesn't show up when the world is clapping. It shows up when nobody's looking, and you're still giving your best. The ones who rise above both extremes, who don't chase praise and don't crumble in silence, those are the ones building something real. And when you become that person, everything in your life begins to feel more calm, more centered, and more honest. Because you're not waiting to be seen, you're already showing up. Chapter 9. Observe what triggers them without saying a word. If you want to understand someone without asking them anything directly, watch what triggers them when you say nothing at all. You don't need to push them. You don't need to challenge them. Just be present, silent, and aware. Because most people reveal their wounds without realizing it. Their body reacts before their mouth does. Their mood shifts before they say a word. And if you're paying attention, you'll see the signals, not the loud ones, the small ones, the quick look away, the sudden change in energy, the tightened jaw, the shallow breath. These are the moments that expose what makes someone feel unsafe, unseen, or misunderstood. And if you're tuned in, you can see it without asking for anything. Human behavior is filled with signals. Most people miss them because they're too focused on themselves, on what to say next, on what they think, on how they're being perceived. But if you step out of your own head and into the moment, you'll notice everything. You'll see the change in someone's expression when a certain topic comes up. You'll see the discomfort that creeps in when someone hears a name, a phrase, a story that touches an old pain. They won't always say what bothers them, but their body will, their silence will, their reaction will. You can't fake your response to a trigger. It's automatic. It shows up without permission. It leaks through tone, posture, and rhythm. And it reveals where someone has been hurt, where they've been judged, where they've been made to feel small. If you observe long enough, you'll understand what they're protecting. You'll understand what they've had to defend for years, and that understanding will allow you to relate to them in a deeper, more respectful way. People won't always tell you what they're sensitive about. Some don't even know it themselves. But if you bring up a subject and they suddenly disengage, that tells you something. If they become irritated over something minor, that tells you something. If they shut down or overreact in a conversation that seemed harmless, that tells you something. These moments aren't random. They're patterns. And if you learn to see the pattern, you'll stop being confused by their behavior. There's a difference between being offended and being triggered. Offense is about disagreement. Triggers are about old pain. Triggers are personal. They go deep. And they often come from unresolved experiences that left someone feeling hurt, unworthy, or powerless. When you unknowingly touch that pain, the reaction can feel bigger than the moment deserves. That's how you know it's a trigger. The response outweighs the situation. It's not just about now, it's about what came before. When someone is triggered, They're not just reacting to you, they're reacting to something familiar in their history. Maybe you reminded them of a tone they heard growing up. Maybe your silence felt like the neglect they used to feel. Maybe your success reminded them of a failure they never processed. These things happen quietly, but they're real. And if you can recognize the reaction for what it is, you won't take it personally. You'll understand the human behind it. But this kind of awareness takes discipline. You have to practice being fully present with people, not with your words, with your attention, with your energy. When someone is speaking, or even when they're just sitting near you, notice the shifts. What topics make them restless? What comments make them defensive? What situations make them shrink? That information is priceless. It tells you how to support them, how to communicate clearly, and how to avoid unnecessary damage in the relationship. This is especially important if you want to be a strong leader, partner, or friend. The better you are at noticing what affects people, the better you'll be at guiding, supporting, and communicating. You won't need to guess, you'll just see it. You'll understand when someone's energy pulls back. You'll sense when they need space. You'll know when a conversation is touching something sensitive, and you won't need to ask. You'll already know. That kind of presence builds deep trust. People feel safe around those who understand them without being told everything. They don't want to explain their whole past just to feel understood. They want to be seen. And when you can sit with someone, say very little, and still notice when something inside them shifts, that's when they feel understood on a whole different level. But don't use this awareness to gain power over someone. Use it to be more compassionate. The purpose of seeing someone clearly is not to control their reactions, it's to respect them, it's to honor what they've been through. It's to move more carefully around the parts of them that still hurt. Everyone's carrying something they've never fully expressed, and the more gentle you are with their triggers, the more likely they are to open up over time. Understanding someone this way also teaches you patience. Because once you see how often people react from old pain, you stop expecting perfection. You stop demanding ideal responses. You begin to relate from a place of empathy, not frustration. And that shift changes everything. It changes how you speak. It changes how you respond. It changes how you listen. Sometimes the best thing you can do when you see someone triggered is to stay steady. Not fix. Not correct. Just stay calm. Stay grounded. Let the moment pass without matching their emotional intensity. That calmness helps them find their balance again. When they see that you didn't run or react, they start to trust you more. They begin to feel that maybe they don't have to guard themselves around you all the time. This also gives you insight into how people treat others when they're triggered. Do they attack? Do they withdraw? Do they blame? Or do they take a breath and stay honest? The answer shows you their level of self-awareness. And if they're not aware, it shows you what kind of emotional patterns they still need to face. You'll also start seeing how your presence affects people. Some people will feel calm around you. Others will feel challenged. Some may feel seen for the first time. Others might feel exposed. It's not about doing something wrong. It's about understanding that your energy has an impact. And if you want to connect deeply, you have to watch how people respond to your presence, even when you're silent. The most powerful observers in life are not the loudest. They're the ones who can sit in a room, stay present and still learn everything they need to know without asking a single question. Because they're watching patterns. They're listening without speaking. They're reading emotions without needing explanations. That's the skill you build when you learn to observe what triggers people without saying a word. You stop rushing into assumptions. You stop overreacting. You stop pushing for answers. You simply watch, and the truth starts to reveal itself. In every interaction, in every moment of tension, in every emotional shift, something is being shown. Your job is to notice, not judge, not react. Just notice. That's where understanding begins. Not in the words, but in what happens before and after them. When someone flinches at a harmless joke, when their eyes drop at a compliment, when they tense up during silence, those are your clues. Those are your invitations to slow down and approach with care. Because what they're showing you is not resistance, it's memory, it's emotion. It's a part of their story that still needs room to heal. And when you learn to hold space for that without making it about you, you become the kind of person people feel safe around. Not because you fixed them, but because you saw them, and you didn't walk away. That's what real understanding looks like. Quiet, steady, respectful, and deeply human.
Chapter 10. Watch who they trust when nothing feels safe. If you want to see the truth about someone, pay close attention to who they turn to when life shakes them, when the ground under them doesn't feel steady, when things fall apart and the room goes quiet. That moment when nothing feels safe is the most honest moment a person can have. It strips away ego, image, and performance. What's left is instinct. That's where trust lives. And when you observe where someone goes in those uncertain moments, who they call, who they lean on, or who they completely avoid, you get to understand their inner world without needing any explanation. Most people are not honest about their fears, but their trust habits reveal them. When someone is anxious, overwhelmed, or facing something they can't control, they return to what feels familiar. And what feels familiar isn't always what's healthy. Some people run to chaos. Some run to silence. Some turn to the same people who hurt them before, just to feel something that reminds them of home. If you're watching, you'll catch it. You'll see the patterns. You'll see who they reach for when they're unsure of themselves. And that single decision tells you how they view connection, safety, and love. You don't need to ask anyone who they trust. Wait until things go wrong. Wait until their plans don't work. Wait until their voice gets quiet and their energy shifts. That's when the answer shows up. And when it does, believe it. Because in that moment, they're not choosing from logic, they're choosing from habit. And habit always reveals who they feel safe around. It shows you who's earned their loyalty, and sometimes, who's manipulated their vulnerability. It's important to pay attention to this, not to judge, but to understand. You'll begin to see how someone was shaped by their past. A person who grew up in an environment where safety was rare might choose people who are distant, cold, or inconsistent. They don't do this because it makes sense. They do it because their nervous system recognizes it. And when life feels unsafe again, they go back to what they know. That's not weakness, that's conditioning. But if you're not aware of it, you might take it personally. You might think they don't care, or that they don't trust you. When in reality, they're just running an old program that they've never paused long enough to question. You'll also see who someone avoids when they're hurting. Some people disappear from those who truly care, not because they don't value them, but because they don't know how to receive real support. Being around someone stable can feel unfamiliar if your life has been filled with instability. Being around someone honest can feel uncomfortable if you're used to hiding. That avoidance tells you just as much as their closeness does. Some people seek comfort in distractions, scrolling, overworking, escaping, pretending they're fine. Others turn inward and isolate. And a few rare people have done the work to know exactly who they trust and why. They have someone they call, not to fix them, but to sit with them.
Someone who doesn't try to give advice or change the subject. Someone who just stays, listens, and understands. If you see someone turn to that kind of person during chaos, that tells you they've grown. That tells you they've developed emotional awareness and respect for themselves. That kind of clarity is rare and valuable. You can also learn a lot by looking at who someone trusts with their silence. When things fall apart, some people talk to everyone, others talk to only one. But it's who they trust with the raw version of themselves that matters most. The unfiltered version, the unsure version, the afraid version. If you get to see that version of someone, it means they trust you beyond your words, it means they trust your presence. That's not something to take lightly. Now turn the lens inward. Who do you trust when nothing feels safe? Who do you reach for when your thoughts feel heavy and you can't see clearly? Do you even reach out at all, or do you convince yourself that no one would understand? Your own trust pattern tells you how much safety you've experienced in your life. And if you've never had a person who could sit with you in silence, without fixing or analyzing or needing you to be strong, then you've probably learned to carry everything alone. But you don't have to keep doing that. You can begin to build new trust patterns. You can start choosing people not because they're familiar, but because they're consistent. Not because they match your pain, but because they model peace. Not because they fill the silence, but because they honor it. The person you trust when everything is falling apart should be someone who helps you find clarity, not confusion. Peace, not pressure. Truth, not noise. Trust isn't built in perfect moments. It's built in the hard ones, the painful ones, the confusing ones. And when you see who someone runs to in those moments, you see what they believe about safety. You see what they believe about love. You see what they believe about themselves. You'll notice that some people put their trust in people who give them control, not care. Because control feels like safety when you've never experienced healthy support. Others trust people who need them, because being needed feels like worth. But none of this lasts. It keeps people stuck. And if you're watching closely, you'll see that happening in real time. You'll see someone walk past the people who care and choose someone who only shows up when they're broken. That's not trust, that's a trauma loop. And if you understand it, you can stop reinforcing it. You can meet them with patience instead of frustration. You can stay calm instead of pulling away. And maybe over time they'll begin to trust the right people for the right reasons. Trust is not about words. It's about patterns. It's about consistency. And in the moments when people feel unsafe, their instincts take over, who they choose to call, where they choose to go, how they choose to respond. All of that gives you a clear view into how they operate emotionally. Don't miss that moment. Don't rush to comfort or judge it. Just observe. Because when someone feels exposed and unsure, and they let you see who they run to, that is one of the clearest windows into their emotional world you will ever get. And if they trust you in that moment, treat it with care. Don't try to fix them. Don't make it about your advice or your story. Just be there. Be city. Be simple. That kind of presence is what people remember for life. And it's what builds a kind of trust that no crisis can break. When everything feels safe, trust is easy. But when nothing feels safe, when life feels uncertain and heavy, real trust gets revealed. Watch who they turn to. Watch who they avoid. Watch how they move when they feel exposed. That's when you're not just seeing their personality. You're seeing their past, their beliefs, their fears, and their deepest values. And once you've seen that, you're not guessing anymore. You're understanding, and that's where real connection begins.